Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Now.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Any sexy feelings that I did have were extinguished by that life-size cutout of Dave Vitti that was in the studio. Comedy Dave with his little mini Dave there. Big cutout. Not good. Becky, what were you just saying? It's true. A very good point, actually.
I was saying, imagine where you work if you came in to do your job, just turned up, and there was a life-size naked cutout of one of your colleagues.
Mm, just like
next to, like, yeah. Sue from accounts or whatever,
exactly.
Or like Dave who works upstairs.
Yeah.
And then there they are.
Bob from security. Yeah.
Cardboard cutout glory.
Just in their pants.
Mm. I feel like I need to lie down now. And it's weird when you see him in the office now. You can't look him in the eye.
I've not seen him yet. He's a mate. He's an actual, off-air mate as well as on-air compadre. And I'm genuinely uncomfortable about when I see him. I have to look him in the eye. And then if I don't look him in the eye, I'll look like I'm looking... You know what I mean? I'm going to do this. I'm going to whistle and look around him next time I see him. So how are you doing? How's it going for you? How's the half-term vibe working out? Is it affecting your life? You might think, well, no, I've no kids, so it doesn't affect my life. Oh, but it will do. It'll eat away at little corners of your life like it is doing with Becky in your train journey, isn't it? Becky gets the off-peak train and shares it with loads of people who come into fancy London town on the way in the morning.
I'm just jealous because I want to go to Madame Tussauds and I want to go to the zoo.
Stand next to Brad Pitt and Angelina and put your arm round, you know, Johnny Wilkinson or whatever for a photo. Instead, you have to come here. But all the tourists get on in the West Country.
Mm-hmm.
You get on last.
And they're all so excited and I've coming to work, which is exciting, but not as exciting as like a day trip out somewhere amazing.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, they all go home with like all their souvenirs and their big boxes of donuts and like they take all the seats on the train.
And we think we could come up with a solution if we speak to Southwest Trains or whoever runs that line, that it could just, they should have, you know when you go to the airport and you have to put your hand luggage into one of those sizers, they should have like a bum sizer somewhere on the platform. So depending if you've got an A bum, a B bum, a C bum or a D bum, it depends which carriage you go to and they'll have different seats because children got very small bottom areas where you can easily sit them down. And if you notice on most kids' rucksacks, they've got a little hook on the top there. Maybe if we did just have a row of like coat hooks on the actual trains where you could sort of hook your kid up. Sure, there'd be health and safety
issues.
I
might feel a bit uncomfortable about sitting down next to a row of kids on hooks. Do you know what I mean? I think they might put me off my journey.
Back to the drawing board then. Cool, you need to loosen up a bit, Becky. I thought that was quite a good idea, no? Okay.
I think I've been watching too much Tudors.
I went to an indoor shopping centre, which is quite popular on a rainy day, because mums still need to do a bit of shopping. You know, obviously, the essentials, La Senza, Kukai. And so they're all there. Obviously, it's raining. They've got all kids with them running around. Now, obviously, I love my children, but, you know... To be honest, sometimes I find my own six-year-old quite annoying. So to have other people's, they're even worse because I don't love other people's kids as much as I love mine. So I'm in the changing room and they're all bombing around and shouting and I'm like, God, kids are really annoying. I don't notice it as much when I've got my own because I can't hear anything because mine are so noisy.
They're off annoying someone else down there.
Exactly, exactly.
It's like people who have cats. The cats never poo in their gardens, do they? They poo in everyone else's.
Is that what it is? The cat managed to sneak into our garage and leave a little poo.
They don't do it in their own gardens.
No. Oh, it might have been a fox. We had a fox with a grudge for a while that kept pooing on our front doormat.
What had you done to him?
Don't know. Nothing. I haven't done anything. And I did get some stuff from off the internet, like that you spray around your borders that smells like a male fox or keeps foxes away because they kept coming stinking up my yard. So maybe they got the huff of me about that. But it was good. I had fun spraying it because I looked a bit like Ghostbusters. They had like a big old canister on my back and a big sort of crop sprayer full of fox scent. Ben found me strangely attractive for that week.
Radio 1 Podcast. podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1. Nice, that song. It's like a gentle ode to the subtleties of courtship, isn't it? I think she could afford to be a bit more mysterious, though. A bit more. Do you know what I think, Becky? Mm. It's all about a little flutter of the eyelash, isn't it? A little flash of the ankle. You know, not all this, come on, I like the smell of it and all that. You know what I mean, Anna? If you're listening, this is me with Usher yesterday. I think you could learn a few things. There we go.
A lovely face.
There you go. It's like just that. Much. Boys like that. Yeah. Yeah. How about?
Got nice eyes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see? He's loving
it. He loves it.
He's drinking it and loving it.
Are my arms too muscly for a girl?
You know, things like that. It's on the podcast if you want to get involved, me and Usher. Just finished our prelims. Woo! We're now chilling to Radio 1. Hello to Polly and Ellen, who saw Dave's photo in the magazine. Said, absolutely hilarious. I tried to tweet a picture of the photograph in the magazine of Dave. And on my smartphone, I accidentally had it on video. So now on my phone, I've got to delete it before the other half sees it, because I've got like a video, a wobbly video of Dave's now shoot. Like, I'm like, I was like, stupidly, I just bought it at the petrol station, so you can see that I'm parked up in my car somewhere. And some wobbly footage of the shoot, like in my lap. It's so weird.
You didn't tweet that, did you?
No good. Dave in Thursley's been on. He's saying good afternoon. Good afternoon to you, my love. Abby in Reading saying the BBC Radio 1 helps me get through my English essays. We're here for you. So, when did you see Pantman?
Pantman?
Did you talk about
it? Oh, the man
it?
On the yeah. train. No, I've never mentioned it because I've been too scared up until now. But it was about 2 weeks ago, there was a man on the train opposite me wearing, like, smart-dressed businessman, and he just had a massive hole in his trousers, in his, like, that region.
In his vitter, as it's known in that area.
That's what you call it?
Yeah, that's what
okay,
it's
okay, he had a massive hole in his trousers by his vitty.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I obviously, because then you, when you notice it, you're like, oh, right.
No, hang on. So did it look like he'd...
I could just see his pants.
Did it look like the seam had given way?
Yes.
It wasn't like a hole, like he'd been bitten by a dog the week before.
No. But I sat there and I thought, he had like a wedding ring on. So I thought, why didn't his wife tell him? And I was like, right, is it my responsibility to tell him? And I was like, it's a bit off-putting because he sat opposite me. Mm. So I was on Twitter going, should I tell him or not? And everyone's like, you have to tell him. And
of course they were, because they just...
Would you have told him?
No.
But then it was really annoying. I had to move my like
it wasn't
iPod.
Like an on, it wasn't like wasn't an, on-purpose, an on-purpose thing. You seem like a nice, decent, clean man.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought. Maybe he...
Yeah,
maybe
he wants...
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
No.
And then everyone was like, what if he's going to a job interview? As I got up to go, because I couldn't tell him at the start of the journey.
It is that moment, yeah, because if you tell him at the start of the journey, then you've both got to sit there opposite each other, knowing that...
I know
what's
that,
just that
yeah.
You, yeah.
And then I thought maybe the man next to him would tell him. I just... So, yeah, off he went. If that was you, I'm sorry.
But I'm just trying to think of any subtle way that you could have let him know. You could have just sneezed and gone, ho!
Well, I thought about taking... Because everyone on Twitter was going, take a picture. I was like...
No,
I thought, right, OK, yeah, I will. And then I thought, actually, no, that's really... You shouldn't do that on a train.
No, don't photograph strangers' no. Areas on trains. Because no. it'll all end in tears, mainly yours.
It was
yours.
Really bad.
81199, have you ever seen anybody with holy clothing? It doesn't count if it's a vicar. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, clothing with holes in. 81199, have you told people? I mean, I'm a great one for tucking in labels on the back of women's blouses in queues and things. Do you know
are
what
you?
I mean?
Well, would you just reach out and just tuck
well,
it in
actually,
for them?
Well, actually, that's
or would
more
you say,
nightclub toilets.
Me?
I think I'm more during the day in it. I'm usually sober in the supermarket, so I will tell them if they've got a label or if they've got a skirt tucked in or something like that. I think it's sort of a sisterly thing to tell them. But I'm not sure about that.
No.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Lots of people seem to be writing notes to other people. To spare the embarrassment of saying, excuse me, you've got a hole in your trousers, people are writing down notes. Tom from Newport suggests that's what you should have done with the man on the train, Becky. He's wrote a little note just as you got off, left him with a little note.
Could have done a little text and then just held up my phone to him saying, you are flashing me, lol.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what to... Dude, it has been so embarrassed.
R-O-F-L. Maybe if there's a bit of condensation on the inside of the train
I should
window.
Have written.
Yeah. or done a bit like Pictionary, where you could have drawn some trousers and then done a big hole
first
with
word,
your finger.
You. Second word.
I work in a shop. This is for, well, they've not put the name on it, surprisingly. I work in a shop, and if I notice a hole or someone's got the flies down, I just write a short message down on the back of their receipt to avoid any extra embarrassment. Brilliant. Although they don't really look at the receipt, they just put it in the bag, and then they'll look at it when they get home, maybe, or notice that there's a
scrawl. Or when they're doing their accounts. Oh no, 6 weeks ago I was.
Yes, someone's written, I can see your pants. I had to tell my new boss of 2 days that he had a small quantity of shirt just poking out of his fly. He was grateful I told him, says Ian from Kettering. Since hasn't moved up the career ladder, though. He doesn't put that on. I'm sure it's all going very well. I've spotted someone with a top on inside out. I told him. Apparently it's lucky, says Julie. You got blagged. People trying to style it out. Yeah, I know my top's on inside out. It's for luck. Okay. A girl last week told me my dress was tucked into my knickers in the city and I felt like crying, says Kirsty. It's quite embarrassing if you've got the actual dress in the knicker thing. I saw someone with toilet paper hanging out their skirt and I was too embarrassed to tell them, says Louise in Liverpool. Out of their skirt. You see toilet paper stuck to people's feet when they've come out of the loo, but not hanging out of their skirt here. Have you ever done that thing where someone's walked past with toilet paper and you try and stamp on it so that they carry on walking and then it's on your own foot, so you end up doing some intricate kind of running man trying to get the loo paper off the bottom of your own shoes. Before Jamelia was big time, says Toby from Ellesmere, she played a gig at my school with a hole in her pants. My mate heckled her about it and got into a lot of trouble. So she didn't say thank you to your friend then for that little Jamelia joke there. My sister Julian wanted an entire body pump class with a big hole in the bum of her tracky bottoms. Oh, there's a lot of squats. I know that class well. Oh, crikey. A fellow classmate had to tap her on the shoulder to tell her, ha ha ha, says Amanda empathetically at the end.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Becky.
Yes.
So your ex-boyfriend went to kiss you whilst you were walking around Bicester Village retail park.
Yeah.
Where you can get all cut price designer bargains.
Yeah.
And he left some chewing gum on your face.
Which he thought it was hilarious. And the whole reason that this was brought back to my horrible mind was the fact that no one told me. And I had it on my face for like 3 hours. Just walking around with a massive lump of like chewing gum stuck to my face. No one told me.
No, and he's the ex, isn't he?
So yeah. So that made me feel really bad. I should have told that man with the big hole in it, yeah, by his fitty.
Because we don't know where he was going.
No.
What he was doing that day.
So don't, if you do see someone with something on them or, you know, tell them.
I mean, is there a text number? Do they text, you know, hole to someone?
Oh, that would be brilliant, that wouldn't it?
I mean, we've got, at the moment, we're concentrating on comic relief, but maybe we could start some appeal for people with holes in their trousers or chewing gum stuck to their faces whilst they're walking around retail parks. You know what I mean? For just, like, get the message across.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
I've been so busy gossiping, we've not discussed what we're doing. Let's have an on-air production meeting, Becky. I presume it was something to do with the show and you waved at me with 1 second to go on that last track.
I was going to say, should we do Stupid Street after Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah, let's.
It's because you were having a proper chin whack with the...
and a good old gossip on at bosses. About the Brits. Did you see what's it? Yeah, dancing on that boat. Right then, we'll have a bit of Wiz Khalifa and Black and Yellow, and then after that we'll head out. It is still drizzling out there on Stupid Street. It's really grey out there. I don't know what it's like in your town, but everyone's kind of cross in London town today. Like, people are either driving really slowly or really angrily. Someone was going to road rage at me earlier on. Sure, I was reversing down a one-way street next to a policeman, but I was in a rush. I don't think it was illegal, but there was like a cab pulled up and I could tell he wanted to give me a piece of his mind, so I just looked the other way. It's quite biblical, that, you know what I mean? I turned the other cheek, and as I did, I stuck my right hand out my window and I did that kind of overtake, like a very nonchalant kind of twizzle of my wrist. You know, just go, OK, overtake, don't be dramatic, love. Everybody's annoyed at the drizzle. Do you know what I mean? Get on with your life. I'm just doing a bit of a cheeky reverse manoeuvre. There's a policeman there who's got no issue with it. And if he has, I'll sign his vest. You know what I mean? An autograph, officer. Will that help? No?
Okay.
Cuff me.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Scott, hello. Oh, hang on, I've got the wrong one. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, yeah, sorry, that was me. I had the wrong fader up and never knowingly professional. How are you feeling, my love? What's going on today?
Oh, I'm really tired today. but, you know, end of day three and all that.
Yes.
We walked far again today. But then tomorrow, you know, we've got day four. And then, funny enough, after that, day five. But, wow. Yeah, I feel that we kind of broken the back of it now, really. We've got such a long way to go tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be the toughest day yet. And we've just been told that where before we've had shade to protect us from the sun, like there are moments during the walk where you can actually where you can get in the shade
little sort of rocky overhangs and things or little clumps of trees. It's really hard to imagine, is it?
Yeah, it's literally just clumps of trees that obviously don't have any leaves on, but if you get the right bit of the shade of the tree, then that does provide a bit of respite for a while. And then literally as soon as you step out from that little bit of shade that you've got, you're back in the blazing sun again. Tomorrow there is no shade.
Right, oh gosh. Do you have parasols, like those sort of umbrellas? I mean, I know it sounds like a jokey question, but is there anything you can carry to, or have you just got big hats? What are you doing when you're walking?
Yeah, I've just got a big hat, and all you've got to do is just, I learnt this on day one, is literally just put your brim down on your hat and just look down at your feet and just keep on walking, and it's just like sand for miles and miles and miles.
And what are you all wearing? Are you all in sort of combat sort of green khaki stuff, or are you in white stuff like you see in the movies and that? What are you wearing?
I'm in a kind of white, kind of beige khaki thing, or sometimes a white t-shirt or a blue t-shirt with Comet Relief on the Red Nose Desert Trek on the front.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And are you stopping off at other little sort of towns along the way? Are the little areas where people live? Tell us about them. Are you going past like really like sort of poor little sort of slum towns, or how does it work? Who are you coming across?
Well, like I was saying to Greg, sorry, my voice is going. I was saying to Greg earlier on today, like, it's never occurred to me, and the thing I've realised on this trip is how much we take things for granted. I've got to be honest, it really hasn't, you know, I've not thought about it before. You know, when I turn a light on in my house or you know, when I get in my nice comfy bed. Oh, amazing that. Imagine that now. Or, you know, like when you turn on a tap to get water, like literally, these people have absolutely nothing. And what we've been doing, apart from trekking, obviously, is going to these little villages along the way. And, you know, the people are so happy and they've got smiles on their faces, but they absolutely have nothing. Like, if I can just describe to you what it's like. So, you know, you'll be trekking along and there'll be like a load of trees, like, and they won't have anything on them. It's proper desert and there's some shrubland. And then after walking for miles and miles and miles, and literally they are miles apart, you'll come across one of these small villages, and the homes are kind of they're made of like dung and sticks, and what they do to get by, to eat and drink, they live on goat and they live on camel milk, and they value their livestock, which is I've never encountered this before. They value their livestock pretty much as much as their family members, because without the livestock they can't eat and they can't drink. And if you add all that to disease like malaria, which is a massive killer here, and tuberculosis and HIV/AIDS, it's a pretty bleak situation. And the one thing that really is noticeable here as well, which has been happening a lot, is the kids here, the little kids who are probably, you know, that between the age of like, I don't know, 5 and up to like 10, 11, 12. And they want our plastic water bottles. Whenever they see us, one of us, with a plastic water bottle, there's a big kind of scrum on to get it. They want the water bottle. They don't even want them with water in it. They want the empty bottle so they can use them as a vessel, you know, to carry water or camel milk.
And have you got enough of them? What can you do? Do you have to be quite tough, or can you just give them to them? Is that all right to do that?
No, you can. And a lot of the people here do, because, you know, if you don't, then, you know, they don't have anything to carry stuff in. And sometimes they use them as toys as well, the little kids, you know. But what they're doing with these water bottles is carrying water and milk for their families. And I know, here's the thing, right? I know that we've all seen the pictures on TV, and it's been, you know, it's been saturated before. We hear about how bad it is in Africa, and there's always a famine, and you know, how many people are having a tough time. But, like, I'm in it right now, and you need to believe me when I'm telling you that it's if you were here right now, you would not believe how these people get by on a day-to-day basis. It's just unbelievable. And
I think it is hard when we go about our day-to-day lives. And like you say, we turn on a tap, we've got clean water, we don't feel well, we go to the doctors, we pop down to the chemist, we can get sorted out, we're warm, we're safe, we've got enough food, we can feed our kids. Just because these kids just happen to have been born into a desert area in Africa doesn't mean that when they cry when they're hungry, that it doesn't hurt their mum as much as it... You know, when you've got kids and your kids are hungry and you know you can get a bottle ready, but it just takes 5 minutes to warm up or whatever, that hungry cry from your child kills you as a mum. And just for me personally, the thought of not being able to feed my child or help my child when it's in pain and ill with malaria and when it's screaming and crying, to not do anything, those mums will still feel the same sort of emotions that mums here do. It's just that, thank God, we don't have to live like that. So we've just got to try and make a difference.
And everywhere you go, you know, I mean, obviously we've been focusing on the sight thing on this trip and just seen some unbelievable people that have literally walked probably 50 miles to get to the only clinic in the area to have an operation so they can, you know, in this brutal heat, so that they can see again. And also the thing is, you know, which also Comet Relief helps with, it's education. Some people, a lot of people here think that that's just the way it is and that it's hereditary to have an eye disease like this. They don't know any different because no one's told them. And along the way, we've been trying to convince these people that actually it can be sorted really cheaply and really easily, and they don't even know that they can have sight again, but they think that it's been passed down through families, or they think, you know, that they're just because they're getting old, that that's what happens to you. And we've been trying, and obviously, you know, it's a very small amount of people we've been able to see on this trip, but we've been, you know, trying to tell people that that's actually not the case, and that they can have the gift of sight again. So it's been an incredibly emotional thing for me.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Where are you now, Scott? What can you see? So it's dark. We always speak to you when it's night time. Have you eaten? Are you going to go and get some kip?
I haven't eaten yet, but I'm doing what the locals do, and I'm going to have, we're having a goat tonight, which is nice. And it's just, I can't really see that much, really. I can just see some shrubs and lots of sand, but I can see lots of stars, because you can see a lot of stars here in Africa.
Okay, well, listen, we'll leave you there staring at the stars. Radio
1. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Okay, so we're going to head out now onto Stupid Street, as promised earlier on. And this is a subject very close to my heart, all about soap operas. We went out to Stupid Street and asked quite a few people there if they could be any character in a soap, which one they would be and why. We asked them as why as well. No, I've not heard this. So, 54 Scott Mills points up for grabs if you can guess one of the people that they'd want to be. I think they might go old school and say, like, Dirty Den. Maybe.
Who would you be? That's what I want to know.
Well, to be honest, I did buy a sort of an above-the-knee length leopard print dressing gown today in my little jaunt to the shops. So Liz McDonald, I think, is the look I'm rocking. Well, I will be tonight when I get home. Lucky old Ben's at the football. You're like, oh, lovely. I wouldn't be Liz McDonald, would I be? Well, I'm old school. I'd be Karen McDonald, because I thought she was a brilliant character, but I don't think they think like that on Stupid Street, do they?
No, it'd be someone like, I reckon, Phil Mitchell. Phil or Grant.
Some standard, yeah.
Like someone, or like, yeah, you're right, a big kind of scary character.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be Hev off EastEnders.
You'd be who?
Hev.
Heather?
Yeah.
Yeah?
She gets the best food. Do you remember that one episode where she went out for dinner with Shirley and it was like, I think, I can't remember what it was, and they went out and she ordered like 2 chicken dishes and then a cheese board. I was like, girl after my own heart.
Oh, if you were Hayley Cropper or Roy, you'd be there in Roy's rolls and you could just eat all those lovely bacon buns and the vanilla slices and
stuff. Oh, yeah, I should have said I wanted to work in like a chippy or a cafe.
Yeah, they've got a kebab shop on Corrie as well.
Oh,
what? So...
Let's see. I'm going to go with one of the Mitchell brothers as most popular. Who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Steve McDonald because I think that appeals because he runs the pub and people would like to live in a pub. Okay? Here we go.
Which soap character are you most like and why?
Phil Mitchell because I'm quite angry.
That girl of Coronation Street that works behind the bar, Tina.
Snooki from Jersey Shore. We say we're the meatballs.
What soap character do you reckon you're most like and why?
Soap powder.
Soap character.
Oh, soap character.
To be honest, I wouldn't like to be like any of them.
Alfie Moo from EastEnders. For the simple fact is, I'm a bit cocky like that. And I like having a laugh, consider myself a bit of a geezer.
Alfie Moo, because I try to be a bit of a womaniser and charm the little pants off any lady I can.
Roxy from EastEnders. She's wild and she's crazy and I love it.
Caramel at Hollyoaks because I'm quite ditzy sometimes. It's just quite ditzy.
Stewie.
Yeah, why do you think you're like Stewie?
Don't know. Just Sam.
Oh, that was sweet.
Did he mean Stewie or Family Guy? Yeah, I think
possibly.
The cartoon.
Because he just is like him.
Bless him.
So it was more like the one, the soap opera star, well, the soap opera character that you're most like, not which one would you like to be in a fantasy way.
Well, I don't know. They're quite.
Is that a similar kind of thing, do you think?
Yeah.
Can we still... Nobody said Steve McDonald anyway.
No. I love it that the most popular answer was Alfie Moon.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been my first...
People, they're most like Alfie Moon. I like the one who goes, I like to charm the pants off any ladies that I can. Okay, good luck with that then. You sound hot. And what did that lady think we asked her? Which soap powder?
I most like Persil.
Can't think of any soap powder related gags. We'll come back to that. So do we get any points at all?
I didn't know.
No, me neither.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
By the way, you did get some points, apparently.
Yes, because I forgot that the rules were if someone mentions it, the person that you've said, you get a point. So I got 1 point, not 54 Scott Mills points. But
who did you mean?
One of the Mitchell brothers, and someone did say Phil Mitchell. So
yeah.
1 point.
Did someone say they were most like Phil Mitchell?
Yeah.
Philanderer, violent man, former crackhead. Oh, I'm most like him. He's a lovely man. Okay, so is the picture up of Ollie? Let's have a look.
Do you want to see? Move that out of the way so you can see it.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, he's chaffing. He's got nappy rash. I heard him on Chris this morning. So
I like those all-in-one body things that, like, Craig David's wearing, don't you?
Very tight.
It's like very skin tight. You can see.
Has he got a body on, Craig David? What is it like? Has it got poppers underneath?
Oh,
like,
I don't know. But Ollie's, you can see all these pictures on the Radio 1 website, but Ollie's got some very stripy pants on.
He's got black and white stripy pants. He's got like little humbug panties on.
Do you think he knew that that picture was being taken?
Well,
I'm
no.
not sure he did.
I don't think he does, because nobody wants to be seen to be rubbing cream into their vitae.
And he's got that...
With that and he's got a kind of...
I love it that we've called it that.
He's got a... I tell you, when the next like New York Medical Journal's out, that's what it's going to be referred to from now on, is the vitae. He's still wearing his little straw hat, bless him, but yeah, he's got quite rounded shoulders and he's just trying to reach into his inner thighs there, poor man, to rub cream in there and get himself sorted. So I think he's just chaffing just from the heat and just from walking for 11 hours a day.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts.
Ah, La Gaga. She'd had those little sort of, they look like, I don't think they were chunks of Toblerone under her skin, but that's what they look like. Did you see them pictures? It was quite interesting. Look, Becky, you should go for it. She had like, oh, it's Sarah in for Scott. You're all right, by the way, if you're on your way home, 8 minutes past six. She had like little triangles underneath the skin and then smoothed over. Special effect ones, not real implants. And then a couple on her forehead, a bit like horns.
What, and you think it was chocolate? That would be amazing to have that implanted and then, like, when you're hungry, just, like,
just
whip it out.
Just have chocolate implants, that would be amazing.
Could just have a chocolate bar, but...
Yeah, I mean,
be better
actually...
It'd be a bit cooler to have it in your skin, wouldn't it?
No, you know what? I'm going well off the idea. I prefer to keep chocolate in my handbag or in my special chocolate drawer in the fridge.
Have you got an actual drawer just for chocolate?
Yeah. Well, it's the bit where the eggs should go, but you shouldn't keep eggs in the fridge. That's my view and not the BBC. But I don't think you should keep eggs in the fridge. So instead, I've taken out a little egg container thing, and that's where my special little chocolate drawer is.
And how much have you got in there? And thing is, if I had a drawer for chocolate, it would always be empty.
Yeah, it's empty now.
Yeah.
Stuff passes through quickly through that drawer. So, does your boyfriend have a problem with you breathing on him? I know this is different.
Have I got really bad... What are you...
No, your breath's fine. I mean, okay. I've not smelt it, but I presume it's fine. Fiona stormed out then.
Does he have a problem with me breathing on him?
Right.
No, why?
Because when I lay in bed sometimes with Ben, I get in trouble for breathing too heavily on him.
What, because it tickles him or because he just doesn't like the smell?
There was a really good comedian on Comedy Rocks with Jason Manford a couple of weeks ago, this Manc comedian, I can't remember his name, his last name was something like shush. And he was saying that his girlfriend breathes on him when they're cuddling and it does his head in. He tries to breathe in the same sort of rhythm so both breaths meet and there's like and it blocks off her breath. And I was just thinking it's impossible to get into like a spoony kind of position and then not breathe on your other half.
Yeah.
Maybe girls breathe too heavily on boys. 81199.
Maybe you should get one of those medical mask things.
Maybe I should train my breathing like those people who dive for pearls. You know what I mean?
That's a bit extreme.
Well,
I think he should just get over it.
Yeah.
Don't go change him.
No, really. Mm. Thanks, sister. Because I do, I'm like, I'm trying to spoon him and then I'm like trying to not breathe on him and I'm all, do you breathe on your other half?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love it. See, they're all newly moved in and stuff. Is that a secret? They're all newly moved in, so it's all nice. It don't matter. They've not started doing each other's heads in yet.
So those other what else? What was the other thing you were saying that you did in bed with him and he really didn't like it? Was it eating? What were you eating in there?
Well,
monkey nuts or something?
He doesn't let me eat monkey nuts.
I remember. There's so many things that you're not allowed to do in bed and they're all really random.
I'm not allowed to eat monkey nuts. He's relaxed on the flossing. As long as they do it under, but it's the noise it makes. It kind of goes between like my molars. But you know, at least I won't get gum disease. And when I do breathe on it, my breath's not bad because I floss.
True, very true.
Monkey nuts are really messy though.
Living with you must be hilarious.
It is, yeah. I
for a few minutes.
Yeah. It is like living, well, probably with some form of monkey, like a sexy monkey. Radio 1 Podcast. I love you all, everybody who's texted in telling me that I'm not weird. Jay in Essex says, Sarah, you're not weird. I hate my girlfriend breathing on me. It's not the breath. It's the hot air in my face. That's annoying. Ben just can't bear it. He's just kind of like, stop it. Tom in London, yep, girlfriend breathing on me when we're spooning is really irritating. I get in trouble for breathing heavy, says Emily in Norwich. Must be a woman thing. Maybe us women just get hot. We just breathe like a big golden retriever. With our big pink tongues lolling out of our mouths, maybe, in bed. PJ in Cardiff says, I get the breathing thing. My girlfriend tells me off for it as well, so they're breathing on each other. That's amazing, says Liam from Halifax. I have the same problem with my girlfriend. Boy, it was just my problem. You're not on your own. Thanks, Liam. Liam's girlfriend breathes on him too much and he doesn't know how to tell her. We were helping people. What are you having for your tea tonight, Becca?
No idea. What have you got?
Well, Fee's just reminding me she's having homemade curry. I've only gone and got a curry kit.
What?
I ordered it with my shopping.
What's in a curry kit?
A curry kit is...
Do you not just get the sauce and the meat and then...
That's what I have been doing. I tell you what I did do. I got a jar of half-fat Jalfrezi sauce, cooked it with some little prawns... And put it was like a mixing of, like, can't the world be one happy place? Because I put that Indian dish into a Mexican tortilla. Oh. And it was incredible. I made a prawn curry wrap. Fresh. No. The curry kit is where you get everything you need to make a curry. Like little sachets of spices.
Wow.
And all little, a bit of ginger, a bit of everything. Fee's shaking her head at me now, saying you should just have the spices in anywhere.
Or just get a jar.
Yeah. Well, it comes in a nice little brown bag.
You're so sold by
them. I know, I'm really sold, aren't I? It was the word kit.
Yeah.
Do you know what
you
I mean?
You think, oh, it's brilliant, like, wow, that's a make.
It's brilliant. It's a kit. Yeah, you do something and it's got all the instructions. I don't have to go out and buy a spice that I probably won't use again. It's just going to be in my cup. You know what I mean? It was like, it's like a little kit. Well, I love a little sachet. Put it all in. Got good reviews online.
So far this link, we've had, you're all about new music.
Yeah.
And now you're the curry queen.
Yeah, and breathing. Girls breathing on people and bringing the world together through cuisine.
Good.
Mexican wrap with the Indian curry. All about the love.
Podcast.
Natasha in Newcastle says that I did a kind of curry wrap thing for my A-level food tech project and I got an A. See? There you go. Well done, Tasha. I just had a curry. It was delicious. It must be curry night. Said Charlotte, all over excited. Yeah, it is. It could be whatever you want it to be, baby. Jade in Cheshire's been on the Thai. See, you were sniffing at me curry kit, as it were, but the Thai curry kit apparently is the best one. Try that. Are you not veggie anymore then? You're not, are you?
No.
Not veggie for years, have you?
I don't think I ever was.
No.
No.
You just said it, didn't you?
Well, no, I didn't say it.
You were like,
was,
oh,
weird.
I'm a vegetarian reflexologist lesbian. And none of it were true. Look at you, we're your boyfriend and you don't touch feet and you eat meat.
Mm? Yeah.
Hey? Come on.
Well, no, I wasn't ever completely veggie, but it was just easier to say I was vegetarian than to explain, like, why I would eat some meat and why I wouldn't eat other meat. And then I worked out it was that I didn't like eating anything with feathers, but now I just eat everything.
You can take the feathers off. That's
know,
what you were going wrong before. You're like, I'm not having chicken again. Okay, good. Right then. Time then, my darlings, for a little bit of tweet to who? I found me owl noise. Like,
never that wasn't the one I was expecting. That sounds like a little owl being tickled. He's like,
does it? You ever tickled an owl? Here we go. Just a little bit.
I was expecting a
tweet. It's like you've done round and round the garden on the tips of his wing feathers and then gone under his wing and made him go and a tickety under there. All right then, tweet to who? Right, anyway, it's about famous people's tweets. We've got to guess who they are. I'm going to make more effort tonight. The other night, I didn't really get it. Do you know what I mean? I always forget with this feature. I've got to really think and put myself in the tweet, in the moment, and work out which celebrities tweeted this.
Got bellyache, only relieved by farting. Nice Saturday night in for me, then.
Ellie Goulding. No, she's a lady. Do we get points, by the way?
Yeah, how many are you going to give? Okay.
Three Scott Mills points for each one if you're playing along at home or in the car or whatever. So go on.
Got bellyache, only relieved by farting. Nice Saturday night in for me, then.
You know, I'm sure I read that one.
Are you changing for Melly, then?
Yeah. Won't be Lisa Faulkner, will it? She's much too much of a lady. Because I follow Lisa, you see, so I'm trying to think.
I think it might be Greg off MasterChef. Is he on that? Because Lisa was on MasterChef, wasn't
she? I
think
so?
It might be
Greg Wallace.
One, yeah, off MasterChef. Is he even on Twitter? I don't know, but I quite like the thought of that being
Saturday
night.
Okay, Greg off of MasterChef.
Yeah, he must get a bit windy, mustn't he, after eating all the food and stuff?
Yeah,
and
after sampling all that food. Oh, yeah. It's brilliant, isn't it? Getting to sample all that food.
So that's who I'm going for.
I'm going to go for Richard Madeley. No, he wouldn't say that, would he?
I love it how you've gone from Ellie Goulding to Richard Madeley.
Let's see.
Louis Spence.
Oh, I follow him. I did read that. Oh, okay, no worries. Next one.
Yes, the Lous are very posh. There was a man to give you a piece of toilet paper and everything.
You know, should they give you the hand towel to dry your hands after? They don't stand in the cubicle and give
maybe
you toilet
maybe they got
paper.
Confused. Maybe they thought that's what the...
No, poor man. Someone has been somewhere where there's posh loos.
And if it's a man, it's going to be a man.
Maybe Alan Carr? Maybe, let's see.
Alan Carr!
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing that you knew that.
I love that. You played that really well. Did you know that? Did you know that was going to be Alan Carr? You were very calm then when I guessed.
At Sarah J. Cox, might have outed you and your eggy breath with JLS on air on this morning's show.
That's
whoops.
That's Fernie, Fernie C, Fernie Cotton. It
what's that about?
Well, this is what she tweeted me.
At Sarah J. Cox, might have outed you and your eggy breath with JLS on air on this morning's show.
Right.
Whoops.
Chris Moore's birthday show. I only had time to grab a banana on my way out of the house and I was famished and didn't get a chance to eat anything. And so I managed to, at one point, just before the end of the show, I ran and got a butty from the canteen at Broadcasting House and it was smoked salmon and boiled egg. And I wolfed it down whilst chatting to Fern, which was impolite, but you know when you're just so hungry. And then as I finished the egg and fish sandwich, JLS came off stage and all gave Fern a kiss, and then they were all forced to kiss me.
Oh.
Because I was like next in line. And they were like, oh, God, it looked rude if we've kissed Fern and then we don't. And they were very brave. They were very polite about it. And I had to sort of go, when I kissed them, you know, so I didn't breed my egg on them. I know we're right, anyway.
Fern Cotton.
Yes, yay, it was. Thank you, Cotton Pants.
My mate is selling his donut van.
Oh. My mate is... It's got to be someone who eats a lot of donuts.
I think Christine Blakely.
Really?
Well, her friend might have a donut. Oh, James Corden.
Maybe James Corden. Little Mark Owen. Imagine him riding around in a donut van.
Or maybe it's Robbie's.
Oh, Robbie could be selling his... Yeah. All right, I'm saying Mark Owen. Which of the... Take that as you... Are you going to go with one of the other members?
Howard.
Howard, let's see.
Chris Evans.
Oh.
Morning all. Apparently that T-Rex has been next to the M5 for a while now. Only noticed it yesterday.
That is Richard Madeley. I know it is.
Richard Madeley.
Yay!
That's amazing, that dinosaur off the motorway
down in
Somerset. I've
not seen it. So yeah. What is it, a big Lego one?
No, just a big old dinosaur.
What, a real one?
I don't know,
one?
Like, where... No, I don't think it's real. I've never got that close to it, to be honest, though, but I think it hasn't moved, so I think if it was real, then it would obviously move about a bit.
We would
it
have heard
in
about
the same
it.
Place,
it's just always there. What, a big green one, a big T-Rex?
Yeah.
Well, is it going like, rawr, or is it just like
no,
quite
just
a subdued...
Like, hello.
Oh, really?
You know, like, that's to sort of imagine the voice.
Hello.
Of, he's got that sort of face of like, hello. I'm just a T-Rex.
Just a T-Rex. No, yeah. No panic.
No. He's like, don't
bloody
be scared.
Nice chap.
He doesn't
T-Rex,
look like he's
T-Rex
get
nice
anyone.
But dim.
Yeah.
So he made him sound like, bloody nice T-Rex, actually. Great guy.
And I got to meet at Craig.
Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, yeah, we knew who that was. Yeah, Richard Madeley, ex. I'm doing quite well tonight.
And I got to meet at Craig David, who's been an influence since day one. I'm a huge fan. So cool. Really great night and incredible crowd.
Big fan of Craig David is Ollie Mers, isn't he? I know he is. I know he's over in Kenya, but I think that's who it was.
Justin Bieber!
Oh! It was little Bieber bomb!
I love the thought of Bieber listening to Craig David.
Wow!
Like being inspired. Like he must have been really young when
Craig
he did like
David
7 days.
All over his Bieber. Boink! Wow!
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have been tiny. He must have been in the womb. All right, well, that's nice. Craig David will be pleased about that. Maybe they can do a little something when old Craigie boy gets back out of the desert. Podcast. Okay, so if you've just joined us, you missed it earlier. God, during this show, it's been an emotional roller coaster. We've laughed together, we've cried together, haven't we, Becky?
Yes.
You cried, you set me off a bit, and then Tex set me off.
It was speaking to Scott in the desert, and it was like, you said to me, and Becky's got a message for you, and I just went,
why is she not speaking? Not like her. Normally wanging on at any opportunity, yeah. And you were silent.
And then everyone
went...
It
was really weird. And then you went... And basically, we were doing our best. We just wanted to get across to you the very important message that we're still trying to get across, that we do every year for Comic Relief. Otherwise, we kind of leave you alone. We appreciate that you've got your own families to feed and you've got your own lives to kind of fund. But for Comic Relief, we honestly believe that, and we're all giving money ourselves as well, and we'll continue to do so. And we just believe it's such a good cause, helping desperate people in such horrible situations in Africa and around the UK as well. From young, you know, the Comic Relief help like play groups, you know, on like sort of down, you know, run down estates where there's mums struggling by themselves. They help with play groups, they help young carers who are looking after their parents, all the way through to helping the elderly who are suffering with Alzheimer's, who need a lot of help and a lot of support, or the elderly who are fine but just lonely. And Comic Relief funds things like coffee mornings, which in turn sort of helps the elderly keep the health together, because it gives them something to look forward to. It gives them a social life where they can just get out of the house for a couple of hours. So it does so much good. And so a couple of hours ago now, I did ask you, and I didn't want to because I was scared to make a big statement, because I just thought I'm going to really regret it if it goes wrong. And I was hoping that if we didn't raise enough, that we just would get away with not mentioning it again and, and hand over to Zane at 7.
No!
Podcast. So it was 219,267. We wanted to get it up to 250,000. We've not got it up to 250,000. We've got it up to 259,857!
Thank you so much. That's amazing.
£259,856. I love you all. We are so grateful. We are so proud of you. You're all hot. You're all brilliant. And you're all gorgeous. Everybody you texted in, we love you so much. We are so proud of you, of the brilliant listeners of Radio 1. We got the email through, which have to be really serious because it's about money and it's about fundraising and it's about final totals, and it's like, dear all, and lots of people are copied in here, and it's always really straightforward. This email states the fundraising total for Radio 1 for the Red Nose Desert Trek, and then they've added on, which is amazing! exclamation mark, lovely lady who's emailed it. So, £40,000,
£40,589.
In
2 hours?
In, yeah, that's in incredible. Under 2 hours. You're all brilliant. I'm
oh,
sending you all.
So fun. I wish we could just ring him and go, oh my God, we've done it.
It's but so hard. Just, I suppose that's kind of the point. He's in the desert. We can't just be like, let's text them.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.